Greetings once again, America. My name is Doug McBurney, and you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the Worldview. That's right, this is the Weekly Worldview. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do focus on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And thank you for joining us once again here on Liberty Day. That's right, it's Liberty Day when most talk show hosts take the day off, when most everyone takes the day off. Liberty Day, that's right. We don't celebrate Labor Day here at the Weekly Worldview. Why, you ask? Well, because we're not communists, we're not socialists, we're not progressives. We celebrate Liberty Day. We celebrate the fact that we are free men at liberty in God's creation on this day, on the eve of the autumn season. And we choose to call it Liberty Day. That's my new, I've coined that as a new federal holiday. Well, maybe not federal. Maybe only here at the Weekly Worldview Studios. But welcome. And I hope you're enjoying the long weekend. Now, before we dive into the news, should I dive right in? I really want to talk a little bit about Iran and the political campaign, the political season. I watched the Republican, The convention, yes. The Republican convention, I watched a little bit of that. I didn't actually watch it live. I just watched some of the coverage, and I think that the Republican convention is very similar to Lawrence Krauss's universe. Yeah, the Republican convention was very similar to Lawrence Krauss's universe in that it was flat. Now, those of you who aren't familiar with Lawrence Krauss and you haven't read his book, A Universe from Nothing, which I had the opportunity to read over the past couple weeks, Lawrence Krauss is a physicist? He's a mathematician and a theoretical physicist. And he believes the universe is flat, and he believes that he believes in the Big Bang and evolution and all that stuff. And tries to make the claim in his book that the universe indeed did come from nothing, had to come from nothing. And he makes that point by basically proving that there's no such thing as nothing. There is no nothing. And that's the same point that I've been trying to make as a Christian, is that there never was nothing, there always was God. But Lawrence Krauss misses the point. And whether or not the universe is flat, I don't know. I do know that there is a God, and I know that the Republican convention was rather flat. Everybody wants to talk about jobs and money, and they had the debt clock over their head. Did you see that? But I'm convinced that the issue come election day will not be the economy, and it will not be jobs. It will be abortion, and it will be Iran. Those two issues will dominate the news come election day. I was just reading an article over at Ynet News, which is an Israeli news source, and they say that according to a report, Washington used covert back channels in Europe to clarify to Iran that the U.S. does not intend to back Israel in a strike that may spark a regional conflict. In return, Washington reportedly expects Iran to steer clear of strategic American assets in the Persian Gulf. And now, folks, are you aware that there are going to be two military operations going on in and around Iran in October? Two defensive military exercises. One, the U.S. and Israel joint exercise. And the other, an Iranian exercise. So both sides' armies are going to be in the field of play come October. And that's just not going to end well. And it looks like the U.S. is abandoning any idea of stopping Iran from obtaining nuclear weapons, and I believe Israel will not. And things may just come to a head before the election, and all this talk of jobs by the Republicans, who are more concerned with money than with morality, will lose the day. Come election time. And I did say abortion would be a major issue, and I'm going to get to that here in a few minutes. But first, let's go into the It Was Just a Matter of Time file. We go to Sao Paulo, Brazil, This is from the BBC. They're reporting that a notary in the Brazilian state of Sao Paulo has sparked a controversy by accepting a civil union between three people. That's right. It was just a matter of time. The notary, one Claudia do Nascimento Dominguez, has said that the man and two women should be entitled to family rights. The three individuals, according to the report, have lived in Rio together for 3 years, and they share all their bills and all their other expenses, and they've already opened a joint bank account. And so that's a family, according to this low-level functionary bureaucrat there in Brazil. Now, Nathaniel Santos Batista Jr., he's a jurist who helped draft the document, said the idea was to protect the three people's rights in case of separation or death of one of the partners. He's a jurist. That means he's a lawyer. He's a Brazilian lawyer who has crafted a document granting family status to three people. What do they call it? A civil union between three people. And listen to what lawyer Santos Batista Jr. has to say. He says, for better or worse, it doesn't matter. But what we considered a family before isn't necessarily what we would consider a family today. Indeed. So today it's in Brazil. Tomorrow it's San Francisco. And then, well, it's coming to a small town near you as well. Because once the barrier is broken down, and that barrier being sex inside of marriage only, once that barrier is broken down, there is no limit to human depravity and how far it will go. And so we've got a three-person civil union in Brazil as the hedge that has protected civilization for at least all of my lifetime continues to crumble. And so there you have that from the Culture File. Now, before we get to any more serious news, I want to talk about some politics. I mentioned the Republicans, and I've got a story here from WorldNet Daily reporting that a growing list of Republicans and conservatives are calling for longtime Republican creep Karl Rove to step away from GOP campaigns because he made a joke that he might have to murder Representative Todd Akin from Missouri. You remember Mr. Akin, who misspoke and exaggerated in trying to make a point that really need not be made, stating that a woman has some magical ability to close down the reproductive system during a forcible rape. We all remember Mr. Akin's comments, for which he has apologized and admitted that he misspoke, and for which he has been excoriated here on the air. But since he has apologized, we have chosen to forgive him here at the Weekly Worldview. But not so Karl Rove. Not so Karl Rove. He made a statement as he was speaking to a bunch of other Republicans. Do I have the statement here? Basically, he said, if Mr. Akin were to be found mysteriously murdered, don't try to find out about my whereabouts, said Karl Rove, implying that he himself might have to kill Representative Akin, or that someone might have to kill Representative Akin. I'm not sure if the crowd laughed, or if they were shocked and stunned in disbelief and silent. Sounds like a joke that wouldn't go over very well in my circle of friends. Well, William Murray, who heads the Government Is Not God Political Action Committee, he said that he has stated that Mr. Rove's statement was, quote, was so distasteful as to shame the entire Republican Party, unquote. Well, if that's possible, Mr. Murray. Phyllis Schlafly has called for Mr. Rove's resignation. I'm not sure what he does. Does he have anything to resign from? Oh, he's the head of a super PAC or something. Here's what Phyllis Schlafly says. She says, Karl Rove has made himself toxic to Republicans by his dangerous statement suggesting the murder of Todd Akin. Also, Joseph Farah, the founder and CEO at WorldNet Daily, WND.com, has stated unequivocally that Rove, quote, has got to go, unquote. And, boy, it's about time. Did I say he was a longtime Republican creep? I apologize. It actually says he's a longtime Republican advisor. And I believe he's the CEO of I don't even know the name of his super PAC, but it's the one that's running all those glowing Romney ads, talking about jobs, 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 and dollars, dollars, taxes, taxes, deficits, deficits, jobs, jobs. That's all they talk about. Well, Mr. Rove, when it turns out that morality and justice and right and wrong turn out to be the major issues of the presidential campaign, you'll be left with egg on your face. So it's probably better for Mr. Rove to step aside right now. Although I've noticed that the mainstream media and the Republicans seem to be ignoring this story about Mr. Rove, implying that the murder of Mr. Aiken may be necessary. They seem to have ignored that because I don't know that the Republican Party can be shamed. Frankly, don't know if it's possible anymore. So we have to look elsewhere, ladies and gentlemen. It's not going to be the political leadership in this nation that returns us to some semblance of civility, where innocent people are not legally murdered and the fruits of our labor are not stolen from us and redistributed to others who have not earned them. We have to look elsewhere. And that brings us to another WorldNet Daily article regarding, well, let me just read it to you. Dateline New York, in a setback to the Obama administration and their efforts to discredit Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio, the U.S. Attorney's Office in Phoenix has announced that a criminal investigation against the only law enforcement officer who has publicly challenged the documents related to Barack Obama's eligibility. Well, and he's challenged all kinds of other things, too, in a good way. Well, they've dropped their case. The feds have dropped their criminal investigation of Sheriff Joe Arpaio's office. Now, WorldNet Daily reports that Arpaio still faces a class action civil rights lawsuit brought by some Latinos, and he also faces a federal civil case in which Eric Holder in the U.S. Department of Justice has charged Arpaio with implementing, in the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, a systematic policy of racial discrimination against Hispanics. So Joe's not out of the woods yet, but then again, neither is Barry Ho, and neither is Eric Holder, as long as Sheriff Joe is on the job, and Sheriff Joe is indeed on the job still. Now, we'll go on to personhood news. We're going to discuss another sheriff. This is an update from an article I read earlier in the week from Boston.com, which I believe is the Boston Herald website. A Republican candidate for sheriff in New Hampshire stated earlier in the week that he could use deadly force if necessary to stop an abortion doctor. Well, his comments, they sparked quite the controversy. Everybody freaked out, as well they should, because he kind of implied that deadly force could be used as a first resort. That could be inferred, even if it's not quite what he implied. Now, he's come out with an apology. Now, I was elated at the sheriff's courage, frankly, to stand up and say that a sheriff has the right to enforce the laws against the murder of innocent people. He may have stated it, he could have stated it better. But when I saw this headline saying he was about to apologize for it, I was pretty down in the mouth about it. Now, here's his apology. By the way, the sheriff, this is a candidate for sheriff in Hillsborough County, New Hampshire, which includes Manchester and the big city there in New Hampshire, if there is such a thing. He's a candidate for sheriff. And he says in his apology, he says, well, let me read what he said initially. Initially, he said, just because a person is not born yet doesn't mean he or she shouldn't have the same level of protection as other citizens. Someone needs to stand up and tell federal and state officials they're wrong if it's in the best interest of the citizens. But my main point is deadly force is always a last resort. Well, there, he said last resort. Anyway, everybody freaked out. I'm not surprised that if Karl Rove hasn't issued a statement wanting him to get out of the race. But here is Frank Sabo's apology. He says, quote, I want to be clear to the people of New Hampshire that I made several comments about the use of deadly force against abortion doctors that I regret, and that I apologize for. and that I fully retract. In making the comments, I let my passionate stance against abortion get the better of me. He also said, unquote, he also said, what I said was inexcusable, and as a sheriff, I would not use lethal force against an abortion doctor. While I maintain that abortion is unlawful because it strips the right to life from a helpless unborn child, I recognize it is legal, and for that reason, deadly force against an abortion doctor is not justifiable. And, well, I agree with the man's statement. The sheriff doesn't have the right to shoot an abortion doctor, an abortionist. He doesn't have that right. Now, I'm going to have to send a message to Mr. Sabo. I've managed to secure his email address, and I'm going to send a message to him regarding personhood. I don't know if he's familiar with personhood, but I want to make him familiar with it, and I want to make him familiar with some of the strategies of implementing personhood around the country. And some of those strategies involve a sheriff, perhaps a sheriff like Mr. Sabo, perhaps a sheriff like Mr. Arpaio. But it's my contention that a sheriff does have the right to protect the innocent lives of the citizens in his jurisdiction, and that he has the right to intervene on behalf of the people if there is unlawful activity occurring. But I do agree that lethal force against an abortion doctor is not an option. Anyway, I will be sending a message to Mr. Sabo, and if I can find Mr. Arpaio's email, I'll CC him on the message. Because I want to get a message out to anyone who's a sheriff in these United States, small towns across America, that it's not going to be the federal government that admits their mistake and ends the legalized killing of innocent people. But it might just be, and it might just need to be, a sheriff. And that's a word to all of our personhood friends out there. My extremely attractive audio engineer couldn't find it in her heart to stop that song or even turn it down until it finished. That's right. Don't give up. You all have probably heard that personhood here in Colorado has once again been declared dead by the enemies of all that is good and sacred and just and right. In that the Secretary of State rejected the 26,000 signatures, and at the moment, we've come up short of the 86,000 signatures needed to put the question of when life begins on the ballot here in Colorado. And there is a massive effort being undertaken right now to try to rescue those signatures. And we are involved in that here at the Weekly Worldview, as are hundreds of other volunteers. And we thank God for their efforts because, well, we're not going to give up. We're not going to give up because these are real life and death issues. This isn't just an academic discussion regarding when life begins. There are innocent people being killed under color of law every day. In America, God's last great hope for justice and liberty on the planet. And it has to be stopped. And I've got an article here. Reported again by WorldNet Daily. Boy, they are bringing it this week. WorldNet Daily, WND.com. Highly recommend them as a news source. This story regards a young mother whose unborn child was killed. It's a story that we covered a couple of months ago, and this is an issue over which I personally and many of my friends have prayed about to the living God, that he might move the hearts of the people. And apparently our prayers have been answered. Heather Surovic is the young mother. Her unborn son was killed by a drunk driver who will face no punishment because Colorado law leaves those not yet born completely unprotected. But WorldNet Daily reports Heather Surovic is not going to be silent about the injustice. Here's the quote from the young mother whose unborn son was killed by a drunk driver, allegedly drunk driver. She says, quote, "I realize my son will never see justice for his murder, but I intend to see that other children will be protected under the law." Heather Surovic says, quote, "I want to look lawmakers who oppose personhood in the eye and ask them why they think my son did not deserve to be protected and why they believe his killer should go free," unquote. Wow. A powerful statement. And I want to remind Heather, first of all, I want to say thank you and God bless you. And I'm so sad for your loss of that innocent child. But your son Brady will see justice for his murder. Never say never. He will see justice. Justice will be executed upon his killer, Heather. One day, your son will stand in judgment of the drunk driver who killed him. Not in this life, Heather, but in the life to come. WorldNet Daily reports it was several months ago, shortly after Surovic had seen her doctor and learned that her son Brady could be delivered as early as that evening, when her car was smashed by the allegedly drunk driver. This is the guy we reported on. I didn't even copy his name because I didn't even want to put his name in my mouth. This is the guy with 5 or 6 or 7 previous DUIs, a man who I contend should have been executed long ago, certainly should have been kept off the highway by any means necessary. She lost her child that very day. Well, the organization Personhood USA, which advocates for changes in state laws and constitutions to recognize the unborn as persons, now is making a TV commercial featuring Heather Surovic. And they're also producing a longer segment intended for churches to draw attention to the issue of personhood. And WorldNet Daily goes on to report last week, Secretary of State Scott Gessler in Colorado announced that the personhood amendment would not be on the November ballot due to a lack of signatures. Supporters were 3,859 signatures short. Media outlets and pro-abortion groups quickly seized on the news, declaring the personhood movement dead. That's their declaration. What they don't realize is, and there's a quote from Keith Mason saying, "This is just one battle in a long war, and whether or not we win or lose this particular battle with the Secretary of State, there is the greater war in which Heather Surovic and her son Brady are just the latest in an endless stream of victims." Again, this is not an academic exercise. This is life and death. And so we will not give up, whether it is in Colorado, whether it is at the ballot box, or whether it is a sheriff who puts a padlock on an abortion clinic and says no more. This issue will win the day because the lives of people like Brady Surovic are just as important, just as valid as your life or my life or the life of a Supreme Court justice or the life of a president whether or not that president chooses to recognize the personhood of the unborn or not. It is a person. And I don't even want to talk about politics after that. I just want to pray for Heather Suravik, and I want to wish her and her family all the blessings of the living God. And to thank her for her sacrificial effort in support of the lives of other innocent people in light of her incredible loss. That is a hero. All right. Now, let's move on to far less interesting and far less important news. Can we talk about the Democratic Convention after doing a story like that? I suppose we must. Oh, we've got the latest issue. My extremely attractive audio engineer handing me the latest issue of Parade magazine. A picture of Barack and Michelle Obama on the couch, arms round one another, all lovey-dovey. What? Open it up? What is it? More? Oh, that's just disgusting. A picture of Michelle and Barack looking into one another's eyes, perhaps about to kiss. Just disgusting. Well, that's a much better segue into a report on the Democratic Convention. The Washington Examiner reports that the Democratic Convention is going to be 100% anti-Aiken affair. It's going to be a pro-abortion rally, is basically what the Democratic Convention is going to devolve into. The Examiner reports, with an eye on Representative Todd Aiken, the Democrats are turning their upcoming presidential convention into a pro-choice assault on the Republicans with the help of major abortion supporters. That's right. The three starlets of the pro-abortion movement will be featured at the convention, an event that will now drive the liberal charge that Republicans are anti-woman. Cecile Richards will be there. She's the president of the Planned Parenthood Action Fund. Nancy Keenan, president of NARAL Pro-Choice America, and crowd favorite Sandra Fluck, whose plea for federal birth control funding will cause everyone in America to be disgusted at a 30-year-old college student begging for condoms and birth control pills. Ugh, very, very distasteful. So the left views Sandra Fluck as their hero, and on the right, we have Heather Suravik. So who would you rather stand with, ladies and gentlemen? I will stand with Heather and Brady. And you people who are going to stand with Sandra Fluck, please stand way over there, just in case there's a lightning strike. Is there any more here on the Democratic Convention? Democrats, led by party chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz, believe that the Aiken controversy and his refusal to leave the Missouri Senate race has revived their chances of winning a majority of women in the presidential race. See, the Democrats believe that a majority of women are obsessed with their right to kill innocent babies. And I just don't think that's true. And I think that the Republicans, in avoiding the issue of the right to life, and I'm not saying they shouldn't have chastened Mr. Aiken, but to call for his resignation, to call for him to step out of his race, for Karl Rove to call for him to be murdered, is a bridge too far, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Aiken should be corrected. He should be reminded that he need not make a case or even address the issue of rape and incest, because the real issue is it a person? That's the issue. If the Republicans choose to abandon this issue in hopes of garnering a majority support based on jobs, 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 money, 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 regulation, regulation, Medicare, Medicare, jobs, Medicaid, Medicare, jobs, money, money, it's not going to happen. Because the truth is coming out. The truth is coming out about the Republicans. The truth is coming out about the Democrats. And the fact that neither party would like to discuss the devastation of the moral fabric of the nation. And therefore, if the Republicans choose Well, they've already chosen to shove this liberal down our throat, Mitt Romney. And as I've said on other occasions, our only option at this point may be to punish them for it. Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. So glad to have you along as we focus like a laser on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. By the way, original thought being represented by the Word of God in the Holy Scriptures, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of the living and not the God of the dead. Look him up sometime. It will do you some good. All right. Now, part of our home education curriculum here at the McBurney compound is that I read some scriptures with my daughters just about every night, and we like it that way. We like our children to be raised in the fear and admonition of the living God, to be taught that He is real, that He is just, and that He is loving, and that He is living. But the government schools are a different story, ladies and gentlemen. I've said it before, I'll say it again, and I know it offends you and it makes you very uncomfortable. If you're putting your children into the public government schools every day, you're sinning against your child and you're sinning against the living God, and you will be held accountable for what you have done. Here's an article, a story from Baltimore, from CBS in Baltimore. On the first day of government school in Baltimore, a 17-year-old male student has been shot, and another student has been arrested. The shooting occurred in the school cafeteria around 10:45 a.m. on the first day of school. The victim was shot in the back at the godless government schools. Now, I'm not saying your kid's going to be shot if you send them to the government school. The odds of that happening are fairly slim. But I am saying that your child is being harmed in the government schools every day, and that if you are a conservative, if you are a Christian, you must consider and find a way to rescue your child from a godless government education that very well may get them killed at some point. All right, speaking of killing, let's go to Chicago. On the south and west sides of Chicago last Thursday evening, in a period of 30 minutes, 13 people were shot. Yeah, the shootings in Chicago peaked between 9:15 and 9:45 p.m. last Thursday when 8 people, many of them teenagers, were shot. So 13 people in a 30-minute period shot in Chicago. Chicago, by the way, is what America will look like if Obama is elected to a second term. And I apologize to all of you who hate Obama so bad that you're willing to do anything to get rid of him. And I know that America is going to be worse off if Obama is elected. There's no doubt. America is going to be worse 4 years from now than it is today if Obama is elected. But couldn't we say the same about Mitt Romney? After all, Mitt Romney has proven that he cannot be trusted. He's thrown the conservatives under the bus for convenience before, ladies and gentlemen. And I predict over the next 8 weeks, you will see Mitt Romney shuffling over to what he calls the middle, which is really the left edge of the rim of hell, is where he's going to shimmy on over to. And he's going to be throwing conservatives under the bus because he's a liar, because he's not trustworthy, because he'll say anything to get elected. And in the end, there's not a dime's worth of difference between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama. Well, maybe a dime's worth. And that's what really matters to the Republican Party, is what's going on with the money. What's up with their money? So that dime's worth of difference must be enough for the Republicans to abandon their moral compass completely and elect Mitt Romney. Well, I am not going to participate. I'm not going to vote for Barack Obama. I'm not going to vote for Mitt Romney, and I would encourage you to do the same. Find someone else to vote for. There certainly must be other options other than a known naked Marxist, communist, agitator, child killer, homosexual-loving freak like Barack Obama, and a lying pagan like Mitt Romney. Surely there must be a better option. And I encourage you to try to go out there and find it. All right, now, away from politics. Well, that wasn't politics. 19 people being shot. I'm sorry, 13 people being shot in 30 minutes. That's not really political. Although it is the fruit of a corrupt political tree there in Chicago. A tree from which Barack Obama, the apple, fell. Is that too many metaphors? Yeah, that's probably one too many. All right, let's go to the justice file. We'll go to Memphis, Tennessee. Lakeisha Richmond, a 27-year-old mother, has been charged with aggravated assault. She posted bond last Sunday morning. She apparently nearly killed a man with a baseball bat. The man is a community football coach. He's one of the coaches of Richmond's 8- and 9-year-old kids' football team. And Letitia Richmond's son was one of those 8- and 9-year-olds on the football team. Now, she says it was normal for her kids and their teammates to spend the night at one of the coach's houses. But she became concerned when the head coach called her for a meeting. She became concerned. On her way to the meeting, the mom ran into Coach Red. Now, Coach Red had been coaching her 8-year-old son, and she says, "My 8-year-old son said he wanted to play hide-and-seek, and that Coach Red grabbed his hand and put it on the coach's private parts." And then her 9-year-old son said, "No, that's bad. That's nasty." And the coach said, "No, this is what college people do. That's Coach Red, who did that to Lakeisha Richmond's 8-year-old son." So she gets called down to a meeting by the head coach, and on the way, she runs into Coach Red. Well, neighbors say Richmond chased the coach down the street to a neighbor's carport and then started beating him with a baseball bat. One of the neighbors said that she beat his head open and split his head, unquote. He was saying he didn't do it and that he was sorry. And she was screaming, "If you didn't do it, then why are you saying you're sorry? What are you sorry for?" As she struck him again in the head with a baseball bat, nearly killing the man. No charges have been filed against the coach, and police are still investigating. Charges have been filed against the mom. Wow. What's the deal with child sex predators? It seems epidemic. It goes back to what I said before. Once you break down that hedge that God has established, that sex is only allowed inside of marriage between one man and one woman, once you break that down, which we did a long time ago. I mean, I'm not saying we, you and me. I'm saying the government that we elected and the government we tolerate, the Republicans and the Democrats that we've put into office, they shattered that hedge. And then they legalized pornography, and now we're awash in pornography. And there is no end to the depths to which human depravity will descend, ladies and gentlemen, even to harming little 8-year-old kids. How much longer are we willing to tolerate this, America? I'm through. I'm to the point where I want to stand up and applaud this woman clubbing this man with a baseball bat, even though I know that that violates due process of law. It's just a sign of my frustration. I would much prefer that the government arrest him, give him a fair trial, and if he's guilty, execute him. But the epidemic is so severe that it just makes me feel good that this mom beat this coach with a baseball bat. And I hate to admit that I feel that way, but that's where I am. All right, let's go to CNN. Gosh, do I even want to do this? All right. Democrat State Representative Kerry Gauthier was caught engaging in an act at a rest stop with a teenage boy. We'll just leave it at that. We try to be family-friendly here, although it's very difficult to read the news in a family-friendly manner. So this Minnesota Democrat State Representative Kerry Gauthier decided last Wednesday night that he will not seek re-election after he was caught having contact with a 17-year-old. But some at the Minnesota State House want to expel him from the legislature now. Now, Mr. Gauthier has apologized for the incident. But some in the legislature there in Minnesota are accusing him of being a child molester. Really? Only some? I mean, he was caught at a rest stop with a 17-year-old boy. That's the definition of a child molester. He is a child molester, for crying out loud. But only some are accusing him because some people are very confused. Anyway, so if you this article, by the way, is from Newsbusters, and they asked the question, will CNN ever get around to covering the Democrat lawmaker who was arrested, engaged in an act with this 17-year-old boy? Will CNN ever get around to it? Well, they report that if you execute a search on CNN for Todd Akin, you'll remember, is the man who misspoke regarding rape and pregnancy. If you execute a search on him, you get 117 entries on the website as of when this story went to press. But if you execute that same kind of search on Kerry Gauthier on CNN's site, you'll find one lone hit from 2007 that has absolutely nothing to do with the Minnesota lawmaker. So Newsbusters asks the question, so why has CNN avoided the scandal and instead had a laser-like focus on the Akin story? Pretty obvious question, right? They say it's nothing more than the placement of a D in front of Gauthier's name that has the network burying the story. Well, I just want to clue Newsbusters in that there's more to it than just R and D. There's way more to it than that. It's the homosexual angle. CNN is packed, top-heavy loaded with homosexuals and advocates of aggressive homosexuality. And they will not report articles that are embarrassing or in any way or would lead anyone to believe that homosexual men are more likely to prey upon young boys. Yeah, I don't know that this story could ever make it on CNN. I mean, if Anderson Cooper were to actually report on this story, his main focus would be trying to get the name and phone number of the 17-year-old boy. That's what Anderson Cooper would be focused on, in my humble opinion. Anyway, well, there you have it. We're going to go on to this is from our new file called The End of the EU. You folks know that the European Union, they like to go by the moniker EU, and we think that's appropriate. We call them the EU. I don't want to get any of that on me. EU. So this is from The End of the EU file. This is from CNN. Oddly enough, they are willing to report on this. Anders Behring Breivik, who killed 77 people in a rampage just over a year ago, has been sentenced to 21 years in prison with the possibility of parole should he be rehabilitated. CNN goes on to report that Norway does not have the death penalty. Oh, yeah? Tell that to the 77 people that Breivik killed. I think Norway does have a death penalty. They just don't execute it against criminals. They allow the criminals to execute it upon the citizenry. And CNN is all too happy to go to press with this report. Now, anything else from this? The judge, Arnie Ling, says that Breivik was under the influence of ephedrine, a stimulant, at the time of the attacks, and the possibility that this contributed to his behavior cannot be ruled out. Ephedrine. Isn't that what you take for a stuffy nose? He was on ephedrine, and so we're not going to execute him. We're going to sentence him to 21 years. Hence the filing into the End of the EU file. Because surely, if European governing officials can't see fit to execute a man who brutally murdered 77 people, and they want to instead consider the effects of ephedrine on the criminal and sentence him to 21 years of rest and relaxation and rehabilitation, surely does mean the end of not only the EU, but the end of Europe as we know it. And but don't worry, folks, the Muslims will get Europe in order once they complete their takeover. And since there is a vacuum of spirituality and morality in Europe, Allah will be happy to fill that vacuum with his warriors. My warning to Europe. And it's coming across the pond, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't make a line in the sand and stand now. There may not be another opportunity, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to stand up for what's right now. And we cannot abandon our God. We cannot abandon his word. And we cannot abandon what truly set this nation apart from all other nations on the face of the earth. And that fact is that America was a Christian nation, and that we as Christians are willing to stand and fight and defend it against all enemies, foreign, domestic, Republican, and Democrat. View, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. And I'm just warning you that you're going to get it if you don't change your ways. Right now, all you Republicans, all you Democrats, all you Americans, I hope you hear me loud and clear. I'm going to go to the culture file as we round third and head for home here at the Weekly Worldview here on Liberty Day. That's right. That's the conservative alternative to Labor Day. It's Liberty Day. Thank you. Thank you. We're all celebrating. But as we celebrate Liberty Day, your federal government is here to help. According to a Washington Examiner article, federal officials have undertaken an effort to help people apply for federal assistance. Oh, big shock there. Governing officials whose job depends on an endless stream of welfare recipients are undertaking efforts to help people apply for federal assistance. Here's what they have... USA.gov is a website, and they've announced their Government Made Easy website. Their website has created a, quote, help for difficult financial times page, unquote, for people to learn more about government programs to help them. They say that given that only 15% of you turn to government assistance in tough times, we want to make sure you know about benefits that could help you. That's right. Let's see. The government got statistics from a poll asking Americans what helps them most during tough times. Yeah. And they found out that the government wasn't up at the top of the list, and they were quite distressed by that. And so so they've got a new effort to go out and get new welfare recipients in. You and I are, by the way, paying to advertise for government benefits that the government is funding by stealing our money. And I'm sure the Republicans are very upset about this. They're upset because of the money. See, I'm upset because of the morality. I'm upset, number one, for the theft, and I'm upset, number two, for... for the government convincing people that they should get on government cheese. I'm offended by the morality of the situation. It's not really the money. Obviously, I can afford it. I'm living now, and they're stealing almost half of what I've got. I'm somehow able to carry on. The money's not the big issue. The money's just a symptom of the deeper issue. The deeper issue is rampant immorality in the government. And then that translates to the people, because in America, it's we the people, right? It's a deficit of morality that is the problem. Mr. Ryan, Mr. Romney, Mr. Obama, all of you. It's not really about the money. The money is just a symptom. And you, the people I just mentioned, you are the disease. And you become more malignant because you deny, you refuse to deal with the source of the disease, and you instead convince the foolish Americans that we can patch up around the seams and we can gild it all over with lower taxes, lower regulation, or more government programs and green jobs. Whatever side you're on, you're all confused. You have all become unprofitable. And ladies and gentlemen, in this audience, I just want to remind you that it is we, the Christians, who have the answers. We have the answers because we have access to the word of the Creator, and He has already told us how to solve these problems. And it is our obligation as citizens, as Christians, to stand up and tell these politicians what is right and wrong, to inform our fellow citizens that there is a God, that there is right and wrong, that you're going to meet God one day, and you will be held accountable. God is your Creator. He can be your Savior. And if not, He will be your judge. Okay. So I'm glad to have gotten that off my chest, because that's important, folks. Again, we cannot look to the politicians to lead us away from the abyss. We've just got one paddling faster and another one who double talks and acts like he's slowing the boat down. But either way, folks, we are headed over the edge. We've got a cauldron in the Middle East that could explode at any moment and take the issue of jobs off the front burner. We've got the wholesale slaughter of millions of innocent people under color of law. We've got the theft of 40 to 50% of the wealth of the nation. We've got the spending of our grandchildren's fortunes, the squandering of it. Stand up, Christian. Stand up and boldly declare that Jesus Christ is the answer, and in His book can be found all of the answers we need. And don't be ashamed of it. We've been in the closet too long. It's time to come out of the closet. All right. Let's see. Bill Gates, according to WorldNetDaily.com, boy, WorldNet Daily is really bringing home the bacon. They really did this week. Bill Gates, they've got a report on software billionaire Bill Gates and his wife Melinda marked the 100th year since the first International Eugenics Congress in London with a family planning summit with abortionists and the United Nations. The July 11th event, co-hosted by the United Kingdom Department for International Development, included organizations such as Planned Parenthood, Marie Stopes International, and the Unpopulations Fund, as well as the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. The summit was held 100 years after the July 1912 Eugenics Conference led by Leonard Darwin, the son of Charles Darwin. Here's what's happening, folks, and I'm noticing this more and more. In the not-too-distant past, those who were hell-bent on the destruction of morality and the family and the country, they masked their true intentions and who they really were. But they don't have to anymore, because the people have become so stupid, and they're so far removed from any connection to the Christian heritage that made this nation great, that Bill and Melinda Gates, they don't have to hide the fact that they're neo-Darwinist eugenicists. They don't have to hide that anymore. I would guess that 75% of Americans don't even know what eugenics means. And they don't know that this was an evil and dastardly philosophy put forth by the likes of Margaret Sanger and Leonard Darwin and other progressives of a century ago. They don't even realize it anymore. So these people don't even have to mask their true selves anymore. They're just coming out in the open. Bill and Melinda Gates, well, let's see here. The 1912 event promoted the notion that economics can be improved by decreasing the surplus population. That means killing innocent people. For those of you who are a little dim and you need a fine point put on it, that means killing innocent people, including possibly you. So they have their family planning summit on the anniversary of this eugenics conference out in the broad daylight in front of God and everybody for everyone to see, declaring the fact that they are wedded indeed to the eugenicists who gave us the Holocaust and other assorted atrocities. Bill and Melinda Gates did pledge hundreds of millions of dollars to improve access to child-killing technology in the developing world. They call it contraception, but it's really not. It's really about killing innocent people, choking off the next generation that might be able to save us. Both Bill and Melinda Gates repeatedly have said there are too many people on Earth, and I wish they would just start by exiting themselves if they really want to be intellectually consistent. So I personally would not advocate for them to do that. I personally, if I saw Bill Gates under threat of death, I would try to protect him. But for Bill and Melinda, it would depend on whether I was considered surplus, whether or not they would defend me. And they're certainly willing to give me money and pills and whatever it takes to kill my children. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe not mine, because my kids are white kids. Bill and Melinda seem focused on killing kids in the developing world for some reason. Isn't that odd that they claim to be the champions of the third world and their focus is on killing their children and choking off their progeny? Does anyone else see the irony? Does anyone else recognize the disconnect there? How can Bill and Melinda Gates, these are educated people, how do they not see the disconnect? Well, I guess it's because they're evil. They're evil. They've put themselves in the place of God. But when they meet God, that will all change. And, of course, I will be there on that day. And I hope you're there, too. And I hope you're standing on the right side of the chasm. Dateline Brussels from LifeSite News. Legal experts are expressing their concerns over the decision of the European Court of Human Rights this month that Italy's law against eugenic screening of embryos conceived by IVF must be overturned. You see, Italy had a law that if you found genetic imperfections in embryos, you couldn't just destroy them. Well, the European Court for Human Rights says that must be overturned. The Strasbourg-based court said that Italy's prohibition of pre-implantation genetic diagnosis was incoherent in the face of existing laws allowing abortion for eugenic purposes. It awarded a couple who had chosen to abort their child, who was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis, 15,000 euros. The court awarded a couple who murdered their child 15,000 euros. The court said that the wish to have a healthy child constitutes an aspect of a person's private family life and comes under protection of Article 8 of the European Convention on Human Rights. Therefore, the law prohibiting prohibiting genetic tests gives the applicants the status of victims and infringes on their rights. Gregor Pupnik, the head of the ECLJ, the European Center for Law and Justice, wrote that the court had created a new right out of whole cloth. He said this means that the court has declared that the wish to have a child free from disease constitutes a right. A right which imposes obligations to the state to protect that right. So a brave new world indeed. The right to kill your child if your child is sick. Now that is sick. But that is where we are, ladies and gentlemen. That's where Brussels is now. And as I told you earlier, we saw where Brazil is with the three-person civil union. Now we've got a right to kill sick children out in the open. They've been practicing it for quite some time, but now it's right out in the open. In front of God and everybody to see a right to kill sick children. All right, one more from the San Francisco Chronicle. When Nils Pickert moved his family from an open-minded West Berlin to a more conservative small German town, locals rolled their eyes at his cross-dressing son. His son is 5 years old, and he lets his son wear girls' clothing. Pickert decided that he would start wearing skirts around town himself with his son to teach his son a lesson. I can't take it anymore. So this is coming to a small town near you, ladies and gentlemen, before you know it. If the people with the answers, and that's the people of the book, the children of the living God, if we do not accept our responsibility and take upon us the obligation to save these fools from their destructive selves, then we will bear guilt in their destruction. I, for one, will stand, and I, for one, will speak, and I, for one, will march, and I, for one, will fight. And I'm looking for God's sheriff. I'm on the hunt for God's sheriff. And I guess that's about all I can do for this week, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com, Bob Enyart Live, Denver Bible Church, Personage USA, American Right to Life, Theology Online, and as always, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here at the Weekly Worldview. Should the Lord tarry, I will return to be back with you next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.